still in the hospital room, and you know how they put the babies down there in the maternity ward, and she had got up from bed and decided to go down there and see. And when she went down the hall, she saw her husband standing there looking through the glass. You know how they got the glass window and the babies are in there. And the husband was standing there just staring down into the room, and she saw that, and it kind of touched her heart, you know. And so she slipped around behind him, and she put her arm around his shoulder, and she said, tell me what you're thinking. He said, I just can't figure out how they can make a crib like that for $89.95. So that has to do with the sensitivity of the mothers over the fathers. Amen. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, I'll be there in just a second. You know, God made Adam, and then, of course, he made Eve. He said he saw that Adam needed a helpmate, and then he made Eve from Adam's rib, and then God ended up and gave, because he made man first, and then also because of Eve was deceived when sin entered into the world, that he had given man a headship. But along with a headship comes a responsibility. So this is God's plan. God ordained this. Didn't catch God off guard, by the way. He knew what he was doing. And so we have this responsibility. And what I like to do on Father's Day, I think sometimes we spend a lot of time telling about what the fathers don't do. But hopefully we can, something today, I want to try to encourage the fathers to, you know, fulfill this responsibility. Privilege, it's a privilege for sure. And a responsibility that God has given us as men and as fathers. There's a recent poll, and I don't know where they get all these. I never get a poll quit. Nobody ever calls, and I don't get polled for anything, but there's always a poll. 68 million of our nation's 94 million men don't attend any church. 68 million out of 94 million men don't attend any church, in spite of the fact that 86% of them grew up at church. So we see a big change, and we've seen it in our lifetime. Research shows that if a child is the first person of a family to become a Christian, that there's a 3.5%, or just a 3.5% chance that everybody else in the family would become a Christian. If the mother is the first person to become a Christian in the family, it jumps up to 17%, a 17% chance that everybody else in the family would become a Christian. But if the father is the first person in the family, it jumps all the way up to 93% chance, a 93% chance that everybody else in the family would become a Christian. Boy, what shows the influence or the leadership? And, you know, and in my time, I've seen neglect of that. I remember, I'll just share a story with you. It was years ago, and I just, you know, a lady was visiting the church, and she had a couple of kids, and she didn't have, she was married and had a husband, but the father wasn't with her, the husband wasn't with her. And we went to make a visit. I don't remember, Stanley, if it was me and you went to make a visit and went to see. And the husband came to the door. And I said, hey, how you doing? Told him who I was, Daniel Boone, pastor of Valley View Baptist Church. And, you know, your wife had been, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And he said, well, I just let my wife make all those decisions. I just let my wife decide about that. She's sick right now. He didn't let us in, but he said she's sick and didn't let us in. But see, that's, you know, we take our responsibility sometime, and we relegate that to somebody else. It can be to somebody else, and that's an easy way to do things. But that just kind of struck me as that's kind of a microcosm a lot of times of what's happening. And I'm going to tell you why, in just a little bit. When the father goes first spiritually, good things will happen in the home. And so for that reason, and that percentage I gave you, for that reason, this is why fatherhood, even manhood to a big degree, is under attack. It's all, listen, Satan is going to attack everything that God ordained. It doesn't matter what it is. And so since God has ordained the man to be the head of the family, you know, manhood's under attack today. I don't know if you guys notice it or not. Harold Vaughn always kind of he usually quotes it as saying or says that there's a lot of neutered males running around in the world today. You know, we got neutered males we've got everything from buns on top of their heads to earrings to purses, makeup. I was thinking about even their, instead of mannerisms, there's womannerisms. You know, even the mannerisms have changed. I mean, it's just, I don't know, when we came up, most of us that got, you know, we were taught to be men, you know, be a man. Now, We got that messed up too a lot of times, you know, look like a caveman with a club finding a date, you know, knock them in the head and drag them. You know, that was the other end of the spectrum. It's not intended to be that way, but, you know, I just know that there's an attack, and this is why. This is why, because it's Satan's at the bottom of it all. And so our leadership, those thoughts and ideas to neglect our responsibility and our privilege don't come from God. They come from Satan. And so we fall into that trap. So I'm going to read in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. I'm going to start at verse 5. And the Bible says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates." You know, they say medical issues aside, almost any man can father a child. But to be a father is a decision. That's why I titled this message, "The Decision." It's a decision. You have to decide to be a father. Now, you know, most of us, the thing with fatherhood, unless you have a whole bunch of children, you know, it's trial and error with a lot of error a lot of times. I mean, we do have the Word of God would guide us there. But, you know, you learn a lot of things. There's just a lot of things. And a lot of people think, boy, I'm going to get married and I'm going to have some children and whoopee, and the wife will raise them and I'll just go to work and go hunting and fishing and I don't have to do anything with them, you know. I mean, that's the thought right there. But you just can't underestimate the influence that a father, and the mothers do have it too, but the father has an influence in one way or the other. And you can't underestimate that. But, I know this is a Father's Day message, but listen, it applies. There'll be things here, and most everything will apply to ladies, moms, children, anybody. It'll apply. And so I want you to see that. You know, making a decision to be what God intended you to be. Making a decision to be what God intended you to be. It's a choice there. And so I want to speak about that and speak particularly to the men, but to everyone else, about what to decide, what kind of a decision, because a decision could be right or wrong or, maybe somewhat neutral in a way. Very first thing, you have to decide to love God. Look in verse 5. It says, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might." You have to decide to love God. Now, you see that verse there, and this question comes to mind, is it possible to command somebody to love? Can you be commanded to love? That is a command there, right? So apparently you can, right? That's, you know, some people think love's kind of a mysterious thing. You know, you're just driving down the road one day, or, you know, you're out somewhere and Cupid flies by, shoots you in the heart with the arrow, and, you know, what happened? I just fell in love. No, you don't fall into love, huh? You don't fall into anything. You know, fall into a mud hole or something like that, but you know, you don't really fall into love. Or maybe it's an emotion that we can't control that just happened. But the Bible teaches us other, not only in that verse there, but there's other places in the Bible. Later on, I'm going to tell you, men, you're commanded to love your wives. Some of them are easier to love than others, right? Amen. I'm just saying. Huh? We're commanded to love our wives. So, it is an emotion that can be controlled. That's what it's telling us. God's not commanding us to do something that you can't do. He doesn't command us to an impossibility. So, it is possible. It's an act of the will. It's a decision. And we can choose, we can choose to love God. And we can choose to love other people no matter how we feel. You know, that's just, there doesn't have to be something else that's done there. You know, like an earned love. It doesn't have to exist that way. It's more than a feeling. Love is an action as well. The Bible says that for God so loved the world that he gave. See what happened? That's love. There's always an action attached with love. You can't just say, well, boy, you know, man, I love, uh, a food and never eat it. You know, that wouldn't tell anybody, you know, that doesn't show it. Or I just love this and love that and never do, I love somebody and you never do anything. God so loved the world that he gave. He gave his only begotten son that we could have eternal life. And so there was an action that was attached to that word love. And so to love God and to worship God, that's the highest privilege that we can have. Think about this, that we have the privilege. You know, the Old Testament was so different. And in the Old Testament times, only the high priest could enter into the presence of that felt or known presence of God, into the Holy of Holies. They went in the Holy of Holies, and I mean, I don't know what that was like, but I can imagine it was an experience like none other. And the high priest got to do that. Now we have what's called the priesthood of believers, because when Jesus died, the veil was rent in the temple in two, which means there was access to God, into the Holy of Holies. And so now what we believe in what's called the priesthood of believers, that we're all priests. You don't have to come and tell me your sins so that I can pray for you. You have access to God. What a privilege that is, that we have access to God. We believe that. And so there's not a higher privilege that we can have. As Christians, we have that. We have the Holy Spirit of God dwelling in us. What a privilege that is. And so when God commands us to love, he's inviting us to that which is best. Always on that video we were watching, some of the things that went along there and the ones that stick out, that God's, and that he read that statement, he said that, you know, that he had been misrepresented, that he's not angry with everybody, that God, if you ever get this in your mind, settle this in your mind, that God wants what's best for you. God wants what's best for you. That's why, you know, that's why he gave us his word. There's some people that are all wound up and, man, there's some kind of mystery in here and there's hidden things and you got to take this word and count this many pages back and then you get down to that verse and add that word and there's some, like, listen, God didn't give this book to us to hide something from us. He was trying to reveal something from us. He didn't make it that hard. It's not a mystery. He gave us his word. Why? Because he loves us and he wants what's best. So everything that God has for us is the best. If you can just understand that, even in the negative commands, thou shalt not, because God wants what's best. How many of you, the fathers, we raise kids, right? Little Johnny, little Susie wanted to do something, and we said no, and oh man, they had a fit, right? And the modern parent caves in and lets them go ahead and do it, but in my day, that didn't happen. If you don't quit crying, I'm going to give you something to cry about. That's what my daddy said. Huh? If you don't quit crying, you're going to get something to cry about. Yes, sir. I quit crying. Worked every time. But they don't do that now. But when we told them no, it was for their good, because we could see something, or we knew because of our experience and our age, we knew something else that could happen. They could get hurt. And so that's what God does. And then there's the positive commands. Listen, you'll do this. How many of you, your parents, say, eat your spinach? Huh, eat your spinach. You didn't want to eat your spinach, and I didn't eat my spinach because I still don't like it. My daddy didn't make me eat it because he didn't like it either. But you know how? You had to take your medicine. You got to eat this. You got to sit down. You know, my mom used to aggravate me to no end. She'd get that. I told her one day when I got older, I said, I'm tell you something, Mom. There was something used to burn me up. I'd be sitting there, you know, you're eating. I wasn't a bad eater. I'd eat just about anything, just wouldn't eat spinach. But my mom, you know, I'd be sitting there daydreaming, staring at that food, thinking about something outside. And my mom would get in her, she'd say she wanted me to eat her food. See, she'd get that, she'd have her fork, and she'd reach over there on my plate and go, eat your food. Ooh, man, used to set me. When I take that thing and ta-ta-ta-ta-ta. You know, when I got older, I said, Mom, when you used to do that, you used to just aggravate me to no end. So once I got to be about 40, she quit doing that, you know. Tapping on my plate. But the reason she wanted me to eat right, so you grow up right, so you be healthy. That's what you do. That's what God does, right? And so we see here this command from God. Here's a command that he's instructing us that's best. He said he wants us to love him with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our might, which is our strength. That means that's the total person, the total devotion to the Lord. I was thinking when we watched that video as well, you know, when we get, you know, negative or depressed or down, that doesn't come from God. You know, those things don't come from God. It comes from other things, the world, Satan's things in the world. It does. God has something that's good for us. And so what happens most of the time, like we're trying to do it our way, and then we end up what? Depressed. And then we do it God's way. Listen, this is what God says. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. Here's the secret. If you love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your might, you're going to be the happiest person on the face of the earth. Will there ever be sad times? Sure. But inwardly, that peace and that joy that you can't explain even in the midst of a circumstance. He said, you're going to, you know, this is what's going to be best for you. Does God want our love? Yes, he does. And God enjoys that. But it's going to be good for us. You know, it's like with your wife, you know, the happy wife, happy life, right? We got a saying about that. Well, it kind of works along the same way. And so, you know, the first step in being a father that God intended us to be, and or being the woman that God intended you, the mother that God intended you to be, just a man or a Christian that God intended you to be, is loving God with all our heart, with all our soul, and all our might. And that's a decision that you have to say, this is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to do. And we can put our minds to some things, we can get it done if we put our mind to that. The second thing is deciding to teach. See, it said in verse 6 and 7 there, and it says, these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. It's not, and a lot of times that we relegate that, dads, Christian dads, to the mothers instead of the us. Teach them to thy children, and thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, when thou risest up. So we see this decision to teach. See, when we love God with all our heart and all our soul and all our might, all our strength, then what happens is, guess who gets changed? It's us. God transforms us. And when God transforms us, the Bible speaks about this, that we become living epistles. In other words, that we are the Bible that others see, especially our children. They see that. And we become this living epistle. And so we have an example. You know, what we are, not just what we say. It has to be what we are. This is what we are. You know, like the saying about church. You know, we don't go to church. We are the church. You know, we don't act like a Christian. We should be a Christian. It's not an act. It should be a Christian. And so we have this influence. And we have an influence whether we want one or not. Some of these athletes I've seen, they try to get up and say, well, I'm not a role model. Listen, everybody's a role model. Whether you want to be a role model or not, somebody's watching you somewhere. Your children, certainly. Your children, you know, you learn, I don't know, I remember years ago, it's way down there. It's like children are influenced so much in like the first 4 to 6 years of their life, I think. And I forgot what they have a percentage, they figured it all out, how much influence you have. And you think back what you learn, all the things. I think about the things that my mother, I don't tap on my kid's plate, I didn't do that, I felt like it. But just certain things that your parents influence over you. You know, my mom was a neatnik, man. I mean, you could do the dust thing on top of that wall and over the doorways, and she's real neatnik about it, and the stuff on the floor. And that stuff on the floor, to this day, is, you know, if I'm up here preaching and there's a piece of paper right there, I got to get it because it distracts me to the point that I can't, you know, I've got to go down there and get that, you know. And Sherry says, well, I wish you were like that at home. I do pick stuff up at home. But, you know, it's just that influence. So we have a negative or positive influence on our children, one way or the other. And sometimes we have both, you know. Sometimes, we, you know, we're not perfect, so we have our failures and we negatively influence our children, and hopefully they can overcome that when they love the Lord with all their heart and their soul and their strength, and God transforms them as well. So what do we teach our children? Well, number one, teach your children the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 1:7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Fear of the Lord, that's reverential respect is what that means right there. And boy, if there's an element that's missing in young people today, for the most part, I'm not all of them, but we see it in society as a whole, is respect for authority. And see, it all starts back in the home. Because if your children, this is the proving grounds for your children. And listen, the dads have to get it. And even the mothers too sometimes, because I told Sherry before, you know, some mothers will say, well, listen, you got to go discipline the children. Well, For the most part, yeah, but sometimes the mom has to do it because the children have to respect what she says too. And so you have to learn that. You know, if my dad said, listen, if you do this, you're going to get a whipping. Guarantee you, if I did that and he found out about it, that was key, then I was going to get a whipping. That's just the way it is. I mean, I was going to get one. So what he said, you hear them people in the grocery store sometimes, I feel like going and giving the parents a whipping. If you do that one more time, sound like a broken record, you could get a bird to say this all day long. If you do that one more time, they done it 20 times and nothing ever happened. You've done brainwashed your child not to listen, so there's no respect. And if it breaks down at home, then the next thing, the kids that always have problem at school, and every kid may get into some kind of something, but I'm talking about them constant, where they disobey and won't listen to the parents. You go back to the home and see what goes on in the home. We had a little boy here one time. I'll never forget it, man. He came in here. He wouldn't listen to nothing you said. It was one of the bus kids, brought him in on the bus, and, we're kind of limited at what they do. Back in our day, the teacher would give you a whipping, and then when you got home, your parents, instead of suing the teacher, would give you another whipping that went with that whipping, and that's how it was. And people had respect. When I was a little kid, I've told y'all this. Any adult, it could be the wino off the street. If it was an adult, when I was a kid, came up and said, sit down and shut up. I'd sit down and shut up because it was an adult that told me that. I said, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, Mr. and Mrs. I still struggle with calling elderly people by their first name. I still do. I still call Mr. and Mrs. Mark or Mr. and Mrs. Mark. Every now and then I'll call them Floyd and Barbara, but I have a hard time doing it because I just was trained not to do that. When I was young, at an early age, you always respected your elders. But this little boy, anyway, he was coming in here and they were running around like they do over there. And this kid was going nuts. He was running and he would get a running start and he would get up on the seats two or three steps and come back down on the wall out there in the foyer. And I said, hey, man, I said, son, stop doing that. I went over. I said, stop doing that. He just kept on doing it, man. Ooh. I struggle. It's a weakness. I got a problem with disrespect. And he had these sunglasses on, and I snatched them things off of his head, man. And in the old days, I couldn't move. And so I put them in my pocket. Well, then he started bawling, and his brother come in. He come here, too. He was older. He said, what's going on? And I told him, I said, listen, man, he's not listening to the teachers. He's not listening to me. And I say, what, if he don't listen, we're taking him back home because we can't, you got to have. So we went to visit the family. Well, I saw exactly why that was. The dad's sitting in the chair, watching the TV. It's like World War III going on with the kids, stuff flying through the house, going across there, the mom's in the other room, and we couldn't even hardly talk, and the dad just sitting there. He didn't say nothing, don't quit doing it. I think they'd have just lit the house on fire. He wouldn't have said it was wrong or done anything about it. That's where the breakdown was. So then it's at the school. Then you get up to any other authority figure, the police. They're not going to listen to the police. They're not going to. We see a lot of society problems that way. They started back at the home because somebody dropped the ball, on teaching. So you teach your children, number one, to fear the Lord, and that means reverential respect. And like I said, my dad, I didn't get maybe three whippings, but I knew. Now, they were good ones. Left marks on you, that kind of thing. But I knew I didn't have to get any more whippings. Because when Dad said no, yes, sir, that's why I didn't have to get any more whippings. My mom, she just smacked me one time. But she wouldn't give me a whipping. Teach them to respect. Number two, teach them to love God. And that's our text today. We talked about that already. And you do it by example. You have to, everything you teach by example. They used to say, don't do as I do as I say do. That's a crummy instruction there. Do it and teach it. Teach them to obey God. Over in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1, I just got a few verses I'll read to you. It says, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart, so thou shalt find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. There it is again. Lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Right there. So teaching obedience, teach by word and deed. James Dobson wrote a book called Dare to Discipline. Dare to Discipline. And he wrote three things for a father to keep in mind in that book. Three things. One of them is that children often follow their father's footsteps. Children often follow. I remember when Kyle was little, and I combed my hair straight back, although it feels like it's giving me a fit this morning. Something's hanging around in front of my forehead. But Kyle had his hair was cut a little bit different, and he was a little kid. So one day he said, "Hey," he was just real small. He said, I want to comb my hair like Dad." You know, so we had to go in there and get some stuff and plaster it on there and try to get it. He did that for a little stretch. He wanted to be like Dad. I remember getting in my dad's shoes, and my feet are way bigger than his were, you know, when he passed away, but that time they were too big. I remember my pastor Woodard, Clyde Woodard, he's passed away now, when I got saved and we're sharing, I used to live. He used to always have an illustration about a guy on this point right here. There was a man that he would go down every day down to a bar that was down, or a little saloon, one of the little beer joints down on the side of the road from the house. And one day he was going down, it was snowing. And he was going down there like he always did in the afternoon. He was heading down there, and he happened to look behind him, and here come his son. And his son was trying to, his little boy, he was trying to step in those footsteps that his dad put in the snow. And he turned around, and the little boy come up. He said, "Dad, I'm going to grow up and be just like you." And that father thought about that for a minute. He picked that boy up and turned around, went on back to the house, and quit going down there to that bar. So my pastor used to always tell about that. Our children follow in our footsteps. James Dobson said the second thing, one of the best things that a father can do for their children, is love their mother. Love the children's mother. That's the best thing, one of the best things they can do. You know, everything that your child, it doesn't matter whether it's male or female, and Dad's got a role in this. Dads, you're teaching your child two things. One, you're teaching your daughter, if you have a daughter, you're teaching your daughter how a man should treat her when she gets married. That's the example they're going to see. They live that every day. They live in that household every day. They see that. So you're setting an example on how, and think about this. You got a daughter. Maybe you and your wife aren't getting along too good, but you got a daughter. What kind of a husband do you want for your daughter? How do you want her husband to treat her is how you should be treating her mother, your wife. And so they learn that. And then also, the boys, if you have a boy, they see how a man should treat his wife. They learn that from watching you as well. They see these things, what to expect. And so there's the example that we see. She said that's one of the best things that you can do. And like I said a little bit earlier, we're commanded, Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Love, that kind of love. There's one word used in the Bible for love is the word charity, which is the word forgiving. And what we say, love and action, love always has an action. Love has an action. That action is always giving. So Christ gave himself for the church. He died for it. He died for us. And so this is how he tells us to love our wives, that we would die for our wives. And so there's a command to love right there again. And then the third thing he said is spend time with them. Spending time. Not just come in, pat them on the head when you come in from work. Hey, how was your day? Spend some quality time. My dad died in 2013. And when I was growing up, I look back now, you reflect on that. Father's Day's coming, you think about your dad. And I think about my parents. Both my parents have passed away. Mom died in 2003, and then Dad moved up here and lived close by to us. That was a blessing. Lived with us for a little while and built his own house. Came to church right here. It was kind of odd. I was my own father's pastor, doing that. But, and it ended up where I'd take care of my dad. I would mow his grass, and we'd go in there and clean in the bathrooms and things. He did pretty good with keeping things straight, cooking and stuff. But he couldn't see that great. We'd go in there and fix it up a little better. And I enjoy doing that as well. But when I was little, you know, when I was young, me and my dad, you know, I just look back over growing up some certain things. Damien and I, we've been playing chess. Damien got chess, and so we get it out. When I was a kid, my dad and me would play chess. We would play chess in the evenings a lot. You go through those phases. We'd sit in there, and Mom would get dinner ready. It seemed like some of this all happened about the same time. We got a boat when I was 12 years old. We got a boat. We lived down on Virginia Beach and near Chesapeake Bay. And so we went out. My dad would go on night shift, and we'd get up in the morning. Man, we'd go fishing 4 days a week on the Chesapeake Bay, me and my dad. And then my mom and dad, Mom would go on the weekends. We would go. And spending those days fishing, and then about the time I was 12, Dad started taking me deer hunting, and we'd go down to my great-grandmother's. He was raised by his grandmother, my great-grandmother, and we'd go down there and stay with her, and then later on my great-aunt and uncle, and we would go hunting together. And, you know, looking back on those, I wouldn't trade those days for anything, honestly, not for anything. Just that time for me and Dad to get out in the woods and right up there all excited about going hunting, and I was probably more excited about it than he was, but he went anyway, and up until, you know, way late in life. But just that time, that was quality time. I spent time with my dad, and so I think that's an important thing. And so, you know, God's our example in the Bible, of course. God loves his children. God encourages his children. And then also God disciplines his children. That's the biblical example right there. God loves his children, he encourages his children, and he disciplines his children. I mean, so that's where we get our direction from our Heavenly Father, and we always have Heavenly Father. And then the third thing is deciding what comes in the door. Look at verse 9. It says, "Thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates." Talking about Scripture or Word of God right there in Deuteronomy verse 9. You know, the Jews took those commandments literally, and it talked about having them on their forehead, and they would make what they call phylacteries. They were little boxes, and they would hang them on their foreheads, Orthodox Jews, and they had scriptures in them, and they had things hanging on their arm, one arm, and they would take a little box. They had another little thing they would hang around in the house, and it was called a mezuzah, and they would hang it on the front door and on every door in the house, and it had scriptures in it. And every time they went by or went in that door, they would reverently touch that box. They knew those scriptures was in there. And, you know, it was a sign. In other words, they had a sign that the house was to be a sanctuary for the Lord, or that house was dedicated to God, in a place where that the Word of God was loved and the Word of God was obeyed and the Word of God was taught. And, you know, and I believe that it also would have some bearing, the fact that it's on the front door would have some bearing on what comes in the house. You know, what you let in and out. Not only what, but who sometimes. You know, what that you would allow, keeping out the ungodly or the unholy element of the world. And I believe that, you know, I don't know, you know, that this is commanding us this way, but this isn't a bad idea, and we just have them by because of use. But, you know, a Bible laying out, you know, some scripture up on the wall. Somebody comes into the home, they see that, you know, these people here, somebody that at least knows something about God, or they have the Word of God. I mean, we have Bible. Sherry's got her Bible, and she's got two of them, and probably one of them's falling apart, and another one. We got devotion books, and we got our Bibles here and there. Matter of fact, I got to go on an Easter egg hunt every day to look for my stuff, you know, to find the books and find my Bible, but it's in there in the house. And I think that's, you know, so that somebody visits, they know that where we stand with God, where we think about that. And then I'm almost done here. Then the fourth thing to decide is deciding to obey God. Deciding to obey God. Joshua 24:15, a familiar verse to us. "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house," and I like this word right here, he said, we will serve the Lord. "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Here was a father that made a decision. I don't think he took a vote. I don't know how the opinion went, but this father said, "Listen, it doesn't matter what the kids say. Really doesn't matter right here what the wife says." He said, "But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord." And that's the way he led his household. And I believe that's right for us as fathers that we do. And he made a decision for his house, decided that they would serve the Lord. What about you today? What about you? Have you made that decision that, you know what, you're going to love God, made a decision to obey God, all your heart, all your mind, all your strength? Listen, I can't overemphasize the influence that we have as fathers and grandfathers on our children. And this world's not going to give them an influence towards God. The media is not going to do it. The government's not going to do it. It's got to be up to us, the Christian dads and the Christian fathers, to lead our children, lead our families, lead our whole family to God. Amen.